fruit, and that's singular, of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, against such there is no law. Okay? So now, today we're actually on peace, number three, peace. All right? And we talked about love and how, you know, that's kind of like an orange. You know, it's one orange. And if you peel the orange, take the peeling off, there's several wedges. Okay, and each, when it says fruit of the Spirit, it's kind of like that orange. All right? And you got all the little wedges to make up the different things. But I believe, and from Scripture here, we see that love is kind of like the peeling. It holds everything together. Now, it's part of it, but it's love is what holds everything together. Okay, and we talked about joy a couple weeks ago. And now we're talking about peace today. Okay? Now, let me just ask you this. I mean, just think about this for a minute. Peace. Do you think the world is in peace right now? Not at all. I'll say this with a very sad heart, but I think that as the nation of America, since our founding, I think we are more divided now than any other time in history. I believe that. And it's sad. Because you got the blacks against the whites, the Hispanics against the whites and the blacks, you got the Democrats against the Republicans. I mean, it's just, everywhere you look, we're divided. You turn on the news, and what do you see? Every single day, there's a protest. And they're not peaceful protests. They're violent. You know, they're overturning cars. They're setting buildings on, you know, burning cars. They're beating up people. They're disrupting traffic. There's nothing peaceful about any of this, okay? You look at, we're at war still. You know, we're still at war against ISIS or Al-Qaeda but we're still at war with them, right? There's no peace. On the world stage, there's no peace. Within the last 3 days, Britain decided that they don't want to no longer be part of the European Union, which is basically, for those young ones, the European Union is in Europe. There's a whole bunch of different nations, all right? Well, those nations have basically come together, and they want to be... They still want to be their own separate nation, but yet they want to be part of the bigger global nation, all right? Basically, a one world government, a one world order, a one money. Because, you know, 50 years ago, Spain had their own kind of money. Lithuania had their own money. Denmark had their own money. You know, Turkey had their own money. And now everybody's kind of heard of the euro, which is basically, it's money that's accepted in any of those countries, all right? And this European Union basically has exerted control over each one of the states, each one of these nations, and now Britain has decided that they don't want any of that. They want to be ruled by their own people and their own nation again. So there's turmoil, all right? Economically, you know, if you were part of the European Union, you could live in one country and work in another one, and you could trade money back and forth. But now, if you're not part of the European Union, you have to have permission to go into another country. You have to have permission to work in that country. You have to have permission to take money out of that country and send money to that country. So there's a lot of economic stuff in play, all right? But I say all that, I know it's all technical, but what I'm trying to say is there's no peace. I mean, we are constantly living in, what's the opposite of peace? Turmoil or fear. Right. We're living in fear, right? I mean, I don't even scare you, but honestly, I mean, you turn on the news, it seems like every other day there's a shooting somewhere at a movie theater, at a mall, and you're just, I'm always I go anywhere. I'm always looking. I'm always trying to be aware of what's around me because I don't trust people. I don't. I'm not fearful, but yet I'm not just, you know, I try to be aware of what's around me. That there's no peace. And if you take it a step further, you look at what, let me ask you this, what will you do in the name of peace? What sacrifices will you make for peace? Alright? And in today's world, people are willing to sacrifice more and more and more in order to achieve peace. But it's kind of like the more you sacrifice, the further peace gets away from you. And by that I mean, just give you just a hardcore example. Alright. Security. Alright. When I was, 15 years ago. When you went to the airport, when you were going to go fly somewhere, you didn't have to go through security. There was no such thing as security. I mean, you paid your ticket, you walked up the stairs, you walked up to the plane, you sat down, you waited for them to call your name, you got on the plane, you flew off. Right? There was no security line. For you younger ones, that's pretty much September 11th, after September 11th, that's where the security came from. Now, we did have security a little bit before then, but nothing compared to what it is now. Alright? And so how does that tie into it? What I'm saying is, now I have to sacrifice my time of going through security, hoping that by going through security, they will catch some of these bad guys. Okay? Alright? And so I've given up my freedom of time, and my freedom of harassment of going through security. Because if you've ever flown, how many of you flown? Is it fun going through security?
No.
It's a beating. I mean, seriously. They make you take off your belt. They make you take off your shoes. You can't have, you know, no more than 8 or 10 ounces of liquid in your bag. And, you know, you got to go through the x-ray thing. You got to stand in this long line. And then the dog comes by and sniffs your luggage. And, I mean, it's a pain. It is a pain. I mean, Denver Airport now, they're telling you to get there 3 hours before your flight just so you can be sure you're going to make it through security. Before September 11th, you know how long I had to be there before my flight?
45
minutes, max. Long enough for me to go up, give them my ticket, and they said, oh, okay, Mr. Brown, you're on a flight to Dallas. That's gate C-12. And however long it took me to go from there to there, that's how early I had to be. Alright, so now, I gotta be there 3 hours early. Okay, so it's an inconvenience. A big inconvenience. You know, like I said, I gotta take off my belt, my watch, and take all the money out of your pockets, and then if it beeps, then you gotta go over here and they gotta patch you. It's a pain. Alright? But people are willing to do that in the name of peace. All right, does that make sense? So, but, is it really peace? It's better. I mean, I think it is a little better. But is it really peace?
Plain.
Now, you look, okay, now let's take this biblically. The nation of Israel, okay? God's chosen people. We're the Bible. Everything is centered around the Bible in Israel, okay? God, in the book of Genesis, gave Israel land, okay? Now, if you look on a map today, Israel is kind of long and skinny. It looks like that. All right. Now, the land that is Israel today is about 1/10 of the land that God gave them. All right. If you look back in Genesis, and you look at God told Abraham, "I'm going to give you this land," and he defined the boundaries. He said it's going to be from the Nile River to the, my mind just went blank. From the Dead Sea to the Nile River, my mind just went blank. It'll come to me in a minute. But basically, The land that God gave to Israel in Genesis is literally one-tenth of what they have now. Okay? It's kind of like God saying, I'm going to give you all of America, but right now they live in Arkansas. And it's about, serious, that's about what it's like. Now, why? Why do they have such a little bitty place of what God has given them? Well, because over the years, you've had the Palestinians, and you've had the Muslims, okay? And they, too, want to claim that land, all right? So, what the nation of Israel has done in the name of peace is they've given away some of their land to the Arabs, to the Palestinians, to the Muslims, to keep the peace, okay? So, they have literally sacrificed and given up their land that God gave them. They have literally given that up just to keep the peace. Now, let me ask you this. You turn on the news and you think of, and you hear anything about Israel, is it ever peaceful? What is it? The Palestinians, you know, shot this rocket into Israel. Then Israel retaliated and, you know, now Israel sent a, you know, ground offensive into Palestine. And they're constantly at war. Because what's happened is that Israel has given these people land, but it's never enough. Well, you gave us 10 acres, you know, 10 years ago, but now we want 20 acres. If you really want us to, you know, not invade your land and, you know, bomb your land, give us some more land. So what does Israel do in the name of peace? They give them more land. All right? So everything's about peace. Everything, seriously. You ask anybody what one of the three or four most thought about things in life are love and peace. People want to be in peace. They do. They want to be in peace. I don't really know too many people. I know some. But I don't know too many people that just love chaos and turmoil and feuding and fighting. People want peace, right? I mean, that's... If you think about it, when we believe, and the Bible teaches that God is going to come back, and He's going to take His people home. It's called the rapture. In other words, one day, God's just going to sound the trumpet, and we're gone. I mean, literally, we're going to vanish. All the people that know God in their heart, one day, are just going to be gone. All right? And when that happens, the world's going to be in turmoil. Okay? But the Bible teaches that there's a guy called the Antichrist, which is the devil. He's going to come on the stage, and guess how he's going to come into power? Everybody's going to like him, and he's going to be the person that finally, once and for all, brings peace to the world. That's how he's going to do it. He's going to be very...
After
the 30 years. But what he's going to do is the Bible says that for 3.5 years, he's going to be such an awesome ruler that literally he is going to unite the world for 3.5 years. It's going to be absolute peace on this world for 3.5 years. Now, think about this. No time in history has any ruler or king ever united the world in peace. We've had some good rulers. Not just in America, but we've had some good, there's been some good kings and, you know, people that have ruled in, you know, Europe, or wherever, and they've done some good stuff. But there's never really been any peace, okay? And the Antichrist, he is going to be so awesome. He is going to bring peace to the world for 3.5 years. And because of that, people are going to love him. Oh, this guy, you know, Iraq and America used to be at war, and Islams and Christians used to hate each other, but now this guy, somehow, he's brought us all together. He has united us in love and peace. I'm serious. That's what the world's going to be like. And because of that, people are going to love this guy. They are going to follow him, hook, line, and sinker. But he's the deceiver. And it's only going to last for so long, and then he's going to be truly known for who he is. Okay? Now, I say all that to talk about peace. Alright? The Old Testament word for peace is shalom. How many of you have heard that word? That's a pretty shalom. It means peace. That's it. That's Jewish for peace. Like when you meet a Jewish person, meets another Jewish person, they shalom. That's peace. Peace be upon you is basically what that means. Like hello, anybody.
They all say hi.
No, they say shalom, which means hi, but it also means peace.
Shalom or shalom?
Shalom. Shalom. S H A L O E. Shalom. Alright? But the word means peace. Alright? Or a desire or a prayer that all is well with you. In other words, you know how women say, hey, how are you doing? That's how we say it in America. Hey, how are you doing? That's, the shalom basically means that, it basically means peace and happiness upon you. How are you doing? I hope all is well with you. Okay? That's what the word means. Alright? Peace is not merely the absence of war, but it's the presence of Jesus. Alright? Peace is harmony and oneness with a purpose. Alright? So, when we say peace, can you define peace? What is peace?
Calm.
Calm. Yep.
Nice. Mm-hmm.
Happy.
No wars.
No wars. Right. Right. Peaceful. You just, sometimes you ever been to a place where you just like, and you just, the smile comes, you're just happy. I mean, you're just like, alright. Okay, I experienced that this, I know this is kind of busy, but last week I was in Tulsa all week, okay, and it was 97, 98 degrees, but their humidity was insane. I walked from the hotel across the street to the convention center, and I was drenched in sweat. I mean, it literally looked like I had jumped into a pool. I mean, it was horrible. I'm like, it was just, I couldn't hardly breathe. The air and the humidity was just so, it was like standing in a sauna. Alright? And I was there for a week, or for 4 days. Well, when I flew home, got back to Denver, you know, I parked my Jeep off the airport. I got on a little shuttle, and they took me to my Jeep, and I got my Jeep, and as I'm driving home, I rolled my windows down. And I'm driving, and it's actually kind of chilly. I mean, it was just a crispness and a coolness to the air, and I was just like, ah. Yes. I mean, I was just like, I had a peace. I mean, seriously, I'm like, I'm not sweating. I'm not just, you know, my shirt's not sticking to me because it's so sweaty. I'm like, oh, I love this. I was at peace. All right? And I know that's kind of a goofy example, but it's, you know, it happiness, calmness, all right? All these words we think of when we think of peace, okay? All right, calm. But peace, where does our peace come from? What, true peace, where does it come from? Harmony. Right. It comes from God. It comes from God's word. Right? Apart from God, there can be no peace. Here's what John 14:27 says. And this is Jesus talking. Okay? And he says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives, give unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Okay? So, this is God talking, this is Jesus when he was on, he goes, hey, I'm leaving you peace. And then he says, let not your heart be troubled. Okay? Have you ever been so worried about something? Some people are chronic worriers. My mother is a chronic worrier. I mean, she is. And I think it's just something, and some people it's just built into them. But she worried about everything. To me, I can't comprehend it. And I understand her. But I mean, some people just worry. They're worried to cross the street because they might get hit by a car. They're worried to go to the grocery store because they might get beat up. They're worried about everything. Okay? Their heart is never, but they're always troubled. Okay? They're always on guard. Okay? Now, yes, you should be vigilant and you shouldn't just be mindlessly wandering through life. Okay? I'm not saying that. But yet at the same time, you shouldn't just let fear grip you to where you're afraid to do things. Alright? That's what he's saying here. Don't let your heart be troubled. Don't be afraid to live life. Don't be afraid to do things because your heart's troubled. And then he says, neither let it be afraid. Right? Don't be afraid to live life. Don't, you know, yes, there are some things. Common sense tells me not to go stand out there in the middle of traffic. Alright? Because I'm going to get run over. Alright? No, I'm not saying don't be afraid to do that. That's dumb. Alright? But there's so many things in life that people are afraid to take a risk on because they're afraid. They're afraid to step out. They're afraid to do things because they're troubled. Alright? But God, or Jesus said, I leave you with peace. Don't let your heart be troubled. Alright? Christ's peace is a gift. It's a gift. You have to choose to accept His gift of peace. Alright? John 16:33, here's what it says. These things have I spoken to you, that in me you might have peace. And this is Jesus talking again. In the world you shall have tribulations, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Okay, so what does he mean by that? He says, I've spoken to you that in me you might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation. Be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Now, I think I used this example a couple weeks ago. But, you know, history, and I encourage you, really, history is one of the best things that you can learn. I'm serious. And they don't hardly teach it in schools anymore. But history is, to me, one of the bedrocks. Because if you think of history, what is history? Spell out the word, H-I-S. His story. That's what history is.
Really?
Yeah. His story. This history of God. Because what is history? What is the whole world? In a nutshell, it's God dealing with mankind. Right? I mean, in the great, His story. How God has dealt with mankind and how mankind has dealt with God. Right? All those together make up His story. Okay? So, but what he's saying here, you might have peace. But in the world, you will have tribulation, or shall have tribulation. What is that word, tribulation?
Trouble.
You're going to have trouble. All right? So, to me, this is the way I look at it. There are some things in life you can't control. No matter how much you worry, no matter how much you cry, and how nervous you are, and how just, you know, there are certain things that, sometimes there are things that just are, and they're going to be, and there's no amount of worry, there's no amount of crying, there's no amount of stress that's going to take it away. Right? It is what it is. And in those things I've learned, when you worry and you fret and you cry and you whatever over things that you can't control, you know what you're doing? You're wasting time. You're wasting time. You're wasting energy. You can't control it. Alright? So waste your time and energy on learning how to deal with it. Okay? Now, and by that, I've used this example before. History, we're crossed going a minute ago. History is full of Christians who have been literally put to death and tortured for their belief in God. Alright? I mean, literally burned alive, skinned alive. Yeah. Skinned alive. Yes. Just like you skin a deer or a rabbit, literally. People have come up with some really cruel things to do in the name of torture. I mean, they've got people and tied chains around the arms and legs and tied each chain to a horse, and the horses just take off in all four different directions. And leg over here, arm up, head. There is some gruesome things that people have done to Christians. But the world is, and this is true now, the world and history is full of people, Christians, who that's happened to, and instead of screaming and crying and begging and, you know, just, they just stand there and they have a smile on their face and they have a calmness about them and they get lit on fire whatever, and they're just as, they have a smile on their face. They're just as calm.
So they're happy about it?
They have peace. Now, how in the world can you be peaceful about that? They know they're going to a peaceful place. They know they're going to be better off.
That would hurt. Like, if you let yourself on fire, and then if a horse take off your arm and your leg,
but you won't be in pain anymore.
But that's why the Bible says that God has gives a peace that passes all understanding. In other words, if someone rips off my arms and burns me alive, you would think in my human brain, I'd be screaming, yelling, crying, begging, whatever. But how can these people stand there? Okay, another example. And this is, hits more home. Columbine, the high school, you know, when y'all weren't born yet, but you, this is where you were, okay. When you were real little, okay? One of the guys walked up to one of the girls in the class and said, "Do you believe in Jesus?" And then, instead of saying, "Please don't kill me, no, I'm so, I don't," she said, "Yes, I do." Just as calmly, just as cool and calm, she said, "Yes, I do." And he ended up killing her. But how could she do that?
Because she knew.
She had a peace and an understanding in her life that life is going to be over one day. And she can't control that. She knew, I can't control how I die. And she accepted, okay, today's probably going to be the day that I die. But I am at absolute peace with that. Because I know that when I take my last breath here, I'm going to be 10 billion times better off. Now, she understood that. That's how you can have peace in your heart and assurance knowing. How is that possible? How is that possible that she knew one day when she took her last breath, she was going to be in heaven? How did she know that it was possible? Because of what God did for her. Because that's what he says here. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. How did God overcome the world? Now, if you think about that, did he come and conquer the world and rule the world? Like a king or like another, you know, like he was ISIS. And did he come down to the earth and just destroy everything and say, "I'm the king, I'm the conqueror"? No. What does it mean here when he says, "I have overcome the world"?
He came, he did his work, and he died just like all of us.
He died,
but then he rose again.
That's how he conquered the world. He rose again from death. The only person ever
to rise from the dead,
to rise from the dead under their own power.
And stay.
It was one
Lazarus.
Yeah, there were seven people that rose from the dead, but guess how they rose from the dead?
God.
Jesus called them.
But
okay?
Then they died.
But then they died, right.
Mm-hmm.
But no one helped Jesus come back to life. He did it himself, okay? And he's still alive. That's another key. So that's when he says, "I have overcome the world," that's what he means. That's how I have peace, okay? Because now I understand he did it for me, and I believe in him. So through him, guess what I've done? I've overcome the world also through my belief in Jesus. All right? Peace, not only it comes from God, but, you know, peace is still available. All right? What he did 2,000 years ago when he died and rose again, that still works today. That's still paying dividends today. Alright? Romans 5:1 says, "Therefore, being justified by faith," in other words, through our belief in Jesus, "we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Alright? So we have peace with God. And you know, I talked about this several Sundays ago at Sunday night at the house, as far as what it means to be at peace with God. Man, that's big. That's big. I don't want to be an enemy of God. I want to be at peace with God. All right? And the only way that's going to happen is through belief and faith in His Son, Jesus Christ, and the sacrifice that He had by dying on Calvary, shedding His blood, rising again, and belief that He lives today. That's the only way you're going to be at peace with God. Because the Bible is very clear that we're born what?
Sinners.
Sinners. Right? And you know what the word sin means?
Not perfect.
Separation. It means separate. Right? Because God is what? God is true. He's just. He's holy. He's perfect. And what are we? Unjust. Liars. We're exact opposite. Right. And because He is so holy and so just and so right and so true, if He was to accept any part of us that was not that way, that would taint Him. Does that make sense? In other words, if you got something pure and you let something impure, just the tiniest bit come into and link up with it or come in contact with it, what happens to that whole thing now? It's impure. It's tainted. Okay?
On the inside out, how sadness, like, someone touches you.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Right. Exactly. Just one little bit. And God is all those things, and we're exact opposite. So, the only way that we can come into His presence and be with Him is if we're made pure. Okay? How are we made pure?
Well, I was
going to
say, how you can't be
pure if you die. Well, what I'm saying here is the only way we can be pure and the only way we can come into God's presence is to be pure. And the only way to be pure for us is to have Jesus' blood, His Son's blood, as our covering. Right? So in other words, when we die and we go to heaven, God will literally look at us and He's going to see, you know, into our soul, and He's either going to see His Son's blood covering us, making us pure, or He's going to see our evilness, our sin, our disbelief, our lying. He's going to see all those things and He's going to say, sorry, I can't have anything to do with that. You're going to hell because I'm too just, and His nature, He cannot be around that. So, one of the two, alright? So, peace is available through God, alright? Peace is available through His Son. See, what I was talking about, I mean, sin is separation. Sin created hostility between man and God. And it created a conflict, okay? And we're talking about peace now. Why do you think, and we talked about this a lot in our study of Romans, why do you think all these different religions throughout the world, why do you think that even though they didn't believe in God, they did believe that they had to do something to get in good with their whatever God they were? Okay, I'll take for example, you know, the Mayans, the Aztecs, they believed in human sacrifice. They believed, you know, certain times of year, they killed people. They just literally put people up on the top of the pyramid and killed them. And they thought that if they killed enough people, that would appease and make their God happy with them, and they'd be okay. Right? But my point is, in the deepest part of their heart, they understood that there was something else in them, and they weren't quite connecting. That there was not, there, they understood in their most basic instincts that there wasn't peace. They understood, they thought they had to do something to try to gain that peace. Okay? Now we know that all that was wrong, but what I'm trying to say is, in our heart, the most basic of humans, we can understand that we're really not at peace with God. And there has to be something to strike that balance, okay? Next, Jesus came to make peace. Now listen to this. This is in Colossians. And it says, and having made peace through the blood of the cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. Okay? So what he's saying is, how did God make peace? I've already said it. He made peace through his death and his resurrection. That's how he makes peace. Okay? Now, peace from within. Okay? Now, we saw where peace comes from, but there's all right, how many of y'all know the cartoon Charlie Brown? How many of you ever watched that?
Mm-hmm.
You ever watched Charlie Brown?
He's a,
yeah. All right. And you remember the girl Lucy? The one she always picks on him? All right. Listen to this. I want you to read this. There once was a cartoon with Lucy, and this is what Lucy said to Charlie Brown. She said, "I hate everything. I hate everybody. I hate the whole world." Charlie Brown says to her, "But I thought you had inner peace." Then she says, "I do have inner peace, but I still have outer obnoxiousness." All right? So,
this is a little illustration.
Yeah. All right. Peace is a grace of the Holy Spirit. Okay? Now, listen, we're talking about the fruit of the Spirit, right? And peace is a fruit. Okay? Now, what have we always said about a fruit? Does a fruit, do you plant a tree or a, do you plant a tomato plant and then the minute you plant it, does it just go poof and there's this big, red, juicy tomato?
I wish.
Yeah, I wish too. I've got 3 or 4 tomato plants and I'm,
one
yeah, 2 little old bitty. But anyway, my point is, with a fruit, we've ate that one. But my point is, with a fruit, what does fruit have to do? It has to grow, right? It has to mature. It has to blossom.
Just like us, the
right. You know, when we're talking about the fruit of the Spirit, look, don't think that just, okay, today I accept God in my heart, that means I'm just going to be the most peaceful, happy, loving, meek, gentle, kind person in the whole wide world. No. It takes growth. Right? It's a fruit. It takes water. It takes food, it takes sun. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that goes into that fruit being a fruit.
In Psalms 1, it says that it, in Psalms 1:3, it says, "He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season."
Mm-hmm.
It takes season.
Yeah.
It takes time.
Right, and that's another thing. Yeah, exactly. I'm not going to go plant here in this, in where we live right now. I'm not going to go plant a tomato plant in October, November. Because what's going to happen to it? Once it starts freezing, yeah, that plant's going to die. Right? Everything has a season. Right? And it has to mature. It has to grow. So this peace that God offers and he talks about, it's not just a magical poof, you're peaceful. What? Now. Alright, so peace is the grace of the Holy Spirit. Okay? In other words, it's a gift. We're talking about fruit of the Spirit, right? But God's peace is beyond description. Remember I said a minute ago, there's a peace that passes what? All understanding. Now, we talked about this morning. I don't know how we got on this, but we talked about how science has proven that as a whole, mankind only uses between 3 to 7% of their brain. Alright? And that, to me, that is just, you look at through human history, what great things humans have accomplished. I mean, medically, technologically, we've sent a person to the moon, rocket. I mean, I could go on. Things that just, I still don't understand them. Alright? And we've done that. With 3 to 7% of our brain. Wow. I mean, that's just, there's 93% of our brain that we don't use and we don't understand. That just boggles me. Alright? Now, and I said all that to say, there are things that we as human beings, we just can't comprehend. There are some things that I just don't understand, but I just have to, I don't understand how cell phones work. Yeah, I know. We talked about this earlier. Yeah, it's sound waves traveling through the air. Okay? What is a sound wave? What makes it travel through the air? How does it go from that point to this point instead of all of, I mean, there's so much that we, so I just accept by faith that when I pick up my phone and dial this number, I accept by faith that that sound wave is going to get to that number somewhere. Do I understand that? No. But I accept it, right? That's kind of what we're talking about here in the Bible, when it says there's a peace that passes all understanding. Do I understand how people could be burned alive and sit there and smile? I don't understand that. I don't. I ain't gonna sit here and pretend that I do. I do not understand how they did that. Do I believe it happened? Yeah. History, it's first-hand accounts. Okay? I don't understand it, but it's real.
Are they jealous? That's why they break them?
No, they were just evil people. I mean, there were many reasons. They didn't, money, politics, religion, I mean, it's just, but the point is, I don't understand how they did it. I don't. But they did it. And the evidence is, firsthand account, I mean, do I understand the wind blowing? I can look out there and I can see the leaves flowing on that tree. Do I understand the wind? Where does it come from? How does it get to here? Why does it blow faster and harder in some places? Why does it blow cold in some places and hot in other places? I don't understand all that, but I can see the effects of it. And I know it's real. I can't see the wind, but I know it's real because I can see the effect it has. Right? Peace. That lady, that girl in Columbine, when that kid had that gun there, do I understand how she could say, yes, I do believe in Jesus? No, I don't understand it. But I see the effect of it. When was Columbine? About 15 years ago?
It was the 90s. So
yeah.
I think it was like somewhere around 97.
Yeah, somewhere in that area.
So it was like 15, 20 years ago.
What was that? Columbine High School here in Aurora.
Okay.
But listen. Juvenile High School, 15, 16. But listen, however many years later, just say it's 15 years later. Who are we talking about this morning?
Her, Kathy.
Yeah. 15 years later, we still see the effects of her belief. People are literally still coming to know Jesus Christ because of her testimony from that one decision she made that day. We're still seeing the effects of her peace. Alright? See what I'm saying? See how peace can affect? It's very effective, alright? So, it's beyond description. Alright? Peace all around. Okay? In Hebrews 12:14 says this: follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Mm-hmm. Most of our problems in life are people problems. Do we agree with that? People, I mean, yeah. Yet peace is the heart of the Christian, and peace in the heart of the Christian should spread to every relationship of our lives. And I just, you know, like I said, I'm going to go into it a lot more tonight, but, you know, when we were in Indiana a couple weeks ago, we had several different, Caitlin and Dalton did the sports thing, okay, where they helped out in the soccer camps, and did you have soccer and battle and tug of war, and you just play games.
War,
yeah. All right? That was their ministry for the week. Okay. Well, Harlan and I, we did a car wash. And what we did is we went to an advanced auto parts store every day, and we had a car wash. Now, at this car wash, we did not charge anything, and it was 100% free. Okay. And when people would drive up, a lot of people would say, it's free? And we're like, yeah, it's free. And they're like, no, really? You're not taking donations? And we're like, no, it's free. And they were like, free? For real? Surely, no. And we're like, no, it's free. And a lot of people were just blown away that it was free. Right? So, but what we did is when they were washing the car, we had a team that would take that person, and we had a tent, and we had some waters and, you know, shade, and we'd say, hey, why don't you sit over here while we're washing your car, and you can have a drink and, you know, get some water and relax. And then we had someone there was talking to them about God, right? And what I did, I was one of those, and what I did is I would tell these people, I mean, first thing out of their mouth was, why are y'all doing this? Why are y'all not charging? I can't believe you're not charging anything. You're out here doing all this work for what? And then that's what I would say, well, you know what? We're here to spread the love of God and to talk about Jesus. And I was just like, you know, I just want you to think for a minute. In this world today, we're more divided and we're more at war with each other, and there's more hatred in this world than there's ever been. And what we want to do this week is we just want to show people love. We just want to show people that there is a peace, and that the world doesn't have to be at each other's throats, divided, you know, mad at each other. We want to offer and show there is peace. Right? And you would not believe the people that just literally got teary-eyed. And you could see that they were just like, just for me saying that. Because look, people nowadays, the world's in such turmoil, they have resigned themselves to the fact of, well, it's always going to be like this. I'm just going to have to toughen up, harden up. I'm just going to have to get hard and just make the most of it. And, you know, just, they've resigned themselves that there is no peace. I mean, but it, to them, peace, it's kind of like, you know, maybe when they were younger, they had this grand delusion of peace. But they saw it for so long and so many other things that they just resigned and said, no, there's no peace. I'm just going to have to get hard or die. You know? And when you show somebody the peace of God, it's just something as simple as a free car wash. I mean, seriously. And it just strikes a chord with me. How? Well, explain that to me. Someone try to explain that to me. You can't. You can't. But what we try to do is to show them that it is real. There is peace. Your life doesn't have to be turmoil. Your life doesn't have to be chaos. Yes, the world around you can be that, but we offer peace. The God of the Bible offers peace. Okay, and I said this to one man in particular. I told him, I was just like, you know, the world's in chaos, the world's crazy. I was just like, but I understand everybody, we all have different beliefs, right? We all have different Democrat, Republican, you know, we all have different beliefs, but that doesn't mean that we have to be disrespectful, rude, hateful, and mean if someone doesn't believe exactly like you do. Now, yes, here are some things that I believe with all my heart, and I'm not going to change them. And I'm going to tell you about them, but if you don't subscribe to my belief, I'm not going to spit on you, kick you, try to burn your house down, try to punch you, you know, protest you. I'm just going to accept the fact, hey, there's some things that we don't agree on. Now, am I going to love you for that? Yes, I am. And I told this guy, I was like, you know, the world is full of just the opposite of that. I was like, you look at Black Lives Matter, you look in the political arena, you got the people protesting Trump, you got the people protesting Hillary, you got the people protesting Bernie. I was like, we all believe differently. But why do we have to be violent in our protests? Why do they always turn into fist fights and, you know, mobs and burning cars and, you know, looting businesses and breaking the storefronts? And why does it have to get to that? I'm like, and I told this guy, it's like, what I believe and what we subscribe to is that God's love and God's holy word transcends every belief. In other words, this is the only foundational thing in this world that can keep me from being violent and hate and filled with hate even though we might disagree, because God's love transcends all of our human beliefs, and God's love offers a peace that can be found nowhere else. Peace cannot be found in politics. I don't care who gets elected, whether it's Trump or Donald or Hillary, or it doesn't matter. I have my preference, but I promise you, no matter who it is, peace is not going to be found in that candidate. Peace is not going to be found in whatever political persuasion they believe in. It's not. Might it be better or worse? We don't know. But there will be no peace. The only peace that is guaranteed, the only peace that is 100% proof positive, is Jesus Christ and what He offers, and the peace that He offers through love and through His Son, His death on the cross. That's it. But people are looking for peace they're looking for peace in politics, they're looking for peace in religion, they're looking for peace in personal relationships, they're looking for peace in their possessions. You know, oh, well, if I can get this new car, I'll just be so peaceful. Or, oh, if I can get this new job, I'll just be so peaceful. Or, oh, if I can just get this husband, this wife, this boyfriend, this girlfriend, that would just make everything so much better. Or, oh, if a Democrat gets elected to be president, the world will be so much peace, so peaceful. Oh, if a Republican, you know, Donald Trump's going to bring peace. No. I'm telling you, no. Jesus Christ and His death on the cross is the only answer to peace. Period. All right? That's what peace is. And that's what God offers. Yes.
At the car wash, there's somebody named my friend, and he's trying to kiss with somebody, and he got his Bible out and stuff. Mm-hmm. And a girl, like, snatched it away from him.
Yeah, I know. And you'll get that. You'll get that. And there again, he could have got mad, but I saw it, and he was very nice about it. He showed love and some restraint. And even though she disagreed, there was no violence. He didn't punch her in the throat. You know what I'm saying? Because that would you resort to violence? God is peace, right? We understand. God is love and peace. So when you resort to anything other than that, who are you mimicking? Who are you being more like? Jesus or the devil? Okay? Well, sometimes we have to realize that when we get trapped into acting a certain way. But we need to realize our actions are a reflection of who we are. So do we reflect Jesus? Or do we reflect the devil? I mean, none of us are perfect in here. I'm not saying that. But on a whole, is our life more of a reflection in our actions of Jesus? Or is it more of a reflection of the devil? Good question. Peace. What does peace mean to you? What does peace mean to you? Because there's peace here on earth, and then there's eternal peace, which that's the one I want to focus on today, is your eternal peace. Because if you do not know and believe in your heart and have a personal relationship with a living God, and you do not believe that God is not just some myth of a man in the Bible, but if you really believe and know that Jesus Christ is alive, even though you can't see, if you believe He is alive and He is living in your heart, then you have eternal peace. Alright? And that's the peace you should be worried about. Because that's for eternity. Alright? That's forever. And there's another thing I don't quite comprehend, eternity. I really cannot wrap my little pea brain around eternity. I can't explain it. I'm not even going to try. But I know the Bible says eternity, and therefore, that's just something that I have to accept. Eternity is eternity. Alright? And in my finite brain, I cannot understand eternity. But it's there. Alright? And I want to have eternal peace. Because see, when you have eternal peace, it gives you earthly peace. Right? How could those people do what they did? Because they had eternal peace. Right? So eternal peace is what I'm talking about this morning. My question to you as we close, do you have eternal peace? Do you know what peace is? It's not just happiness. Yeah, that's a part of it. This is more than just a happiness. Alright? So, as we bow our head, I just want you and God to just communicate for a minute. Alright? I want you to pray, God, everything that he just said came from your word. But God, talk to me personally. Talk to me. Right? And if there's something that you're confused about or want to know about, come talk to me. Right? But I'm going to tell you first, the first thing I'm going to say to you is, have you talked to God? Because see, I can't talk to God for you. Right? That's not how it works. It has to be you. I can help you. I can guide you. But I can't do it for you. Right? So, we'll take just a minute this morning, and if God has spoken to your heart and your mind, speak back to him. Don't just remain silent. Don't push him away. Listen. Right? Hear what he has to say. Communicate with him. Commune with God. Right? So I just want to take just a minute here for you to commune with God. God, we come to you, Lord, and just thank you so much that we do have peace. And Lord, I just want to thank you that I was one of the lucky ones that found it. And Lord, I don't want to take that for granted. Lord, because I know everyone in this world, in some way, somehow, shape, form, or fashion, they're looking for peace. God, I have it, and I'm so thankful for that. But God, now that you've given it to me, it's my duty to share it with others. And Lord, I pray this morning that there's one person in here this morning who has never really thought of it this way and who has never really understood what peace is and who peace comes from, and that's you. I pray this morning, God, that there would just be a burning in their heart and their mind, that it's just a thought that they can't shake. Lord, it troubles them. I pray that if that's the case, that they would just give in. Lord, and just understand that you love us, and that's what you want to give to us. But we fight against it. And Lord, it's our nature to fight against it. But you want to give us that peace, and it's there. All we have to do is ask. Lord, I pray that if someone has never understood that concept this morning, they understand that. And they ask you, Lord, and they acknowledge you, and they call upon your name, God, and that they could gain this peace that our minds just can't comprehend. Lord, that peace of your Son, that eternal peace of being in a right relationship with you, would just overflow and, Lord, come into them. Lord, I pray for that this morning. Lord, for those of us who do have you, Lord, may we ever be reminded of who we are in you and who we should portray and who we should reflect to the world. We should be a happy, peaceful, loving people. Lord, that doesn't mean we got to be a pushover and people trample over us like a doormat. But, Lord, we've got that peace and that love that only you can give. And God, I pray that we reflect that to other people around us. Lord, I ask you this in your holy name. And God, I pray that you would just be with us for the rest of the day. Just keep us safe. And Lord, I pray that your Spirit would remain in us today. And then this afternoon, tonight's Bible study would be just as awesome as it was here this morning, that we would learn and grow and be better equipped. Lord, just forgive me where I failed. Keep us safe. And I ask it, amen.
Amen.
Amen.